from Technical Institute of Brunswick.
Good morning, everybody. I'll be talking a bit about dynamic non-equilibrium water flow in sphagnum moss and peat. Sphagnum being the dominant peat-forming plant in the world, I think it's maybe worthwhile having a look at what sphagnum actually is in terms of a porous domain. Generally, if we want to, if we look at peatlands, they are very important sinks for atmospheric carbon. And if we want to predict the carbon pool stored in these peatlands, we need to understand the underlying processes. And they are mainly driven somehow concerning water flow. So looking at water flow models and adequate physical processes governing the water flow is very, very important. So sphagnum moss is actually it is a living plant, a non-vascular plant, and the photosynthetic activity is restricted to the top 2 or 3 centimeters, and it is called the capitula. And the sphagnum moss has to maintain a certain water content or soil water pressure in this capitula so that this photosynthetic activity can continue, so being about sort of minus 100 hectopascal. It can do this by capillary transport up its stem, or maybe sort of take rainwater in. And the pending branches, which you see in the top right one, sort of form an interlocking mat of moss. Vertically, this is then what it looks like. You've got the moss at the top, and with increasing depth, usually increasing decomposition. And we now conducted some experiments on the water flow characteristics of this media, and where we took samples from the bottom part, because as you can see, the top is very loose, no real water is stored, and the relevant processes we're investigating didn't take place. So if we skip that, we conducted multi-step outflow experiments here, 5 centimeter samples, put a 10 centimeter in at the top, and monotonically decreased the bottom pressure boundary condition to generate outflow, and monitored both. And then we try to find constitutive relationships so that we can use some kind of process model to simulate the water transport or the observations. So generally, you see the pressure decreasing in steps. These are the observations. They coincide with the lower boundary condition. And you've got a result as the cumulative outflow. Now, we used inverse modeling to test whether the classical theory, the Richards equation, is applicable here. So we took the Fingolfin-Moellem model and did some parameterization. We actually see that, so the red line is now the simulation, we actually see that there is quite considerable mismatches in the dynamics of the whole thing. So we conclude we need some model which can actually take out the different rates of the pressure head and the cumulative outflow going towards an equilibrium, and this is what the Richards equation at that stage cannot do. So focusing on a model which basically differentiate the water content in the sample into two parts, sort of an equilibrium component and a non-equilibrium component, we can then actually find a model which Diamantopoulos et al. Presented called the geofraction model, and then we can do the same kind of inverse simulation of our system and see that we're able to match our observations much better, particularly in the pressure head, sort of the smoothing out towards the equilibrium. Well, I thank you very much for your attention, and I rest my case.
Any questions? Yes?
What was the bottom battery? Was it plate? Was it
nylon? Yeah, it was a Nitex. Yeah. We used a sort of tension disc specifically developed to work with these media, so they're slightly flexible because you always get a little bit of deformation at the bottom boundary, and to account for that, yeah. So these experiments were conducted at the University of Waterloo with Jonathan Price, who developed these tension discs. Please.
How did you factor in hydraulic conductivity and soil temperature?
So the soil temperature at this stage was controlled through the ambient temperature, so the soil sample was actually at room temperature. The water was degassed water at room temperature, so it was constant at that stage. And the second part of the question was? Oh, yeah. So first of all, we were just investigating whether these processes actually exist in sphagnum. at all, or in peat at all. I mean, peat is also used as a horticultural substrate, for example. It's not only a question about maybe the field scale, but that would be at room temperature, right?
Yeah, but if it's in the field and you have temperature fluctuations, that's gonna control microbial activity and other processes.
Okay, yeah, we're looking at experiments here which are reasonably short in time. If we now look at microbially mediated changes of soil hydraulic property functions in a soil, we maybe are looking at a different sort of non-equilibrium on a different time scale than this focus here.
One last question.
Yes, I did, and you can see that on my post of this afternoon. Thank you for the question.
Marcus?
Do you get a lot of structural changes while you set or anything?
Yes. So the I think one of the problems here where the dynamic non-equilibrium model can still not match the outflow might actually be due to slight shrinkage effects, which we have not accounted for. In the inside the medium, there's no evidence at the moment that there are big changes in the pore space or anything. It's a medium which has a bulk density of about 0.12, so it's pretty low actually, and nevertheless reasonably rigid.
Thank you very much.